I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Gene Phelps.
I'm Blake Morgan, and this is Prep Rally,
a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com, coming to you every Wednesday covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. I'm your host, Brad Locke, usually joined by Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps. Those guys are on assignment because it's May, which means lots of things are happening with the postseason baseball and softball and tennis and golf and track and field and whatever. But we do have a special guest co-host. You may know the name, T. Braden Bishop. He's the sports information director at Tupelo High School, also teaches broadcast journalism. So welcome in, Braden. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good, Brad. You can take the special off and just say yes. That's about as much as I can give you.
No, man. We've name-dropped you on here before, so I think people know who you are. You're active on Twitter as well, at T. Braden Bishop. You can find him there. And really kind of a good timing to have you on, Braden, because Tupelo's been like all over the place here in the postseason, winning stuff, you know, and vying for championships. And we'll get to a lot of that. We're going to talk about the Tupelo softball team that's making a big run here to the state finals. Baseball team is still in the playoffs as well. They're playing in the semifinals this week. We're going to look at some of the other teams and matchups in both of those sports here on the program. Going to talk a little bit about golf and tennis as well. Tupelo doing well in golf. And I think, Braden, you just had some news. We just had some news earlier this here Wednesday morning about the tennis team. We can talk about that, too, if you want. And we'll have Athletes of the Week as well. Y'all can find us a variety of ways. Of course, we're in iTunes, Google Play, any of your podcast apps. And you can stream it online as well at preprally.djournal.com. We're on Twitter at djournalpreps. Let's jump in with the softball, Braden. Specifically Tupelo softball. They're in the state finals, and this has been, I guess you could say, a bit of an unexpected run by the Lady Wave.
Yeah, I mean, that would probably be a pretty good synonym to use. I'm looking at their fast pitch route, and going back to April 21st, Tupelo had one of the hardest routes to go to state, of course, beating Starkville pretty handily, and then probably playing two of the better teams in North Mississippi, and those teams being DeSoto Central and Clinton, before reaching North Half last week to where they beat Madison Central. But yeah, we've been following this story for quite a while. It's interesting because softball and slow pitch was actually really good last season, but they fell in a couple of crucial games. Slow pitch is very interesting because you're actually combining like your 6 and 5A schools because not every school has it.
Right.
So you actually play some really good teams in 5A, and Tupelo kind of faltered, slipped against teams like Saltillo. You fast forward to this spring semester, and Coach Dana Ray, who's in his second year, has done one of the most amazing coaching jobs probably of any sport that I've seen in the last 8 or 9 years in this area.
Yeah.
And he has brought precedence to this team. And, you know, there's 4 seniors on the team, too, that have kind of played an extremely large role since middle school. But, yeah, this team has been fun to watch. They've kind of jokingly just said, let's just lose the first game so we win the next two.
Yeah, they've done that a couple of times in the playoffs against it was against DeSoto Central and Clinton, I believe. They got down 1-0 in both of those series and then came back to win. I mean, against Madison Central, they did win the first one, but then they lost a lead late in game two and then came back and won in dominant fashion in game three. So a lot of resilience with this team, isn't it, Braden?
Yeah, I definitely think so. You look at the names of people like Lauren Knight, who actually has a sister who plays on the team, too. She's a ninth grader. And there's another Knight girl on the team who's probably going to be moving up in the next year or two, too. So Lauren Knight's been pretty good. She's actually had to play in a lot of different positions, which brings up another subject that a lot of people don't know about. Dana Ray has had, I think, 4 major injuries on the team to players that have not been able to play for probably about 3 months now.
Wow.
So there's been a few transitions that have taken place. But nonetheless, I think that there's really never been a whole lot lot of pressure for them, and they've just been playing just out of sheer grit. And like Madison Central, for example, in North Half, that's usually a very mentally tough team for every sport in Tupelo. But I think the softball girls just looked at it like, well, we've never played them. We've been playing well. Let's just keep on going. And then you have, of course, junior sensation on the mound, Ivy Watts, who can play the field. She pitches. She can hit. Katie Reeves had one of the best hits of the season a couple of weeks ago with a grand slam against DeSoto Central. And Kendall Brooks, Alicia Graff, you have people who have been hitting well over 400. I think one of them hits over 500 this season.
Wow.
So with that being said, there's no one person, even though I'm kind of like Gene, I give Dana a lot of credit, but Dana just shovels it right back to his kids and says, hey, I'm just kind of just driving the bus.
Well, he did kind of the same thing at Nettleton. He had some really, really good teams there, so I don't think there's any doubt that his coaching has a big part to do with it.
Yeah, definitely. I agree 100%, Brian.
And they're going to play Harrison Central starting Thursday. Game one is 1:30 there. They're playing all these games down at Freedom Ridge Park in Ridgeland. Actually, starting today with some games, but Tupelo will play on Thursday, game one, at 1:30. They'll play game two on Friday. It's a late game at 6:30, and then any game threes that may be necessary to play will be played on Saturday. So Tupelo going for its first state championship in fast pitch, Braden. I mean, this is their first trip to the finals, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We've been looking at a lot of firsts over the last few weeks. I've been keeping in touch with a couple of former coaches just confirming some things. And, yeah, that it was their first North Half appearance. It was their first North Half championship or 6A semis, however you want to call it.
Yeah.
And also first trip to the finals. A couple of other games that really stick out, especially today, Morville versus Choctaw Central. That'll probably be one of the more highlighting games that I'm going to follow, especially at 4 o'clock today.
Yeah.
Morville just being Morville. That's just what they do. They put North Pontotoc out in the North Half last week in a dramatic, I think they played two games. Well, I think North was up towards the end, and then Morville came back and won that deciding game last weekend.
Sure did. They came back, yeah. Their first game is today. Some other area teams playing today as well. Some already playing as you're listening to this or have played. Hamilton had the first game at 11 in 1A playing Bogachita. Mantachie in 2A has the 1:30 game against Taylorsville. And then the late game today, no area teams there, but it's 4A Kosciuszko North Pike. So you got some, you got Tupelo, Braden, and then you got the usual suspects with teams like Morville and Hamilton. So I'm sure Northeast Mississippi will bring home some trophies there from Ridgeland. Let's switch gears real quick, Braden, talk some baseball. And again, let's start with Tupelo. They're having a nice run. They're heading into the state semifinals. They're going to face Hernando. Game one is Thursday at 7 o'clock. And let's start with that matchup, Braden. They went 3-0 against Hernando, a division rival, this season. So that gives you confidence, but, it's the playoffs. I guess you can't really take anything for granted.
Yeah, and it's been very weird, Brad, talking to players and talking to head coach Justin Reed, who's actually in his second season, who has produced over 20 games in both years that he's been here. He's been able to produce 20 wins. This is such a weird scenario. I think I said 2 months ago, physically, Hernando is amazing looking. They have a couple of D1 commits. They have a football player who plays shortstop, Robert Wilkie, who's going to be going to play quarterback at Northwest Community College. They have so many different athletes. They are huge. They are big. They have one of the best pitchers, if not the best pitcher in the state of Mississippi, who actually pitches in game two. He doesn't pitch a whole lot. He may come in and close in game one if he's able to get up. It's a very interesting setup. Coach Lara is over there. He's had a few big names that have come through the programs, especially that's gone to ICC, has gone to play teams like Ole Miss. It's a very interesting setup because we've seen this team three times in the year. The two games, Tupelo shut them out in some pitching duel contests, one there, one here, and then the third game of the season, it was 4 or 5-0 for most part, and I think the game ended 9-3, 9-4, somewhere around in there. Tupelo goes 3-0 versus Hernando this season. You look at Tupelo's workhorses on the mound. You'll probably see Jackson Bridges, a senior Meridian Community College commit, signee Thursday night here at Tupelo, 7 o'clock. Jackson on the season, bringing up some of his numbers. He's been able to put up some really good numbers. He's pitched in a little over 60 innings. He is number two on the team in strikeouts with 67 and has an ERA of 1.16.
Pretty good.
He's really able to take care of business on the mound. He's 7-3. He has a couple of rough innings to begin with, but once he makes it to fourth and fifth inning, usually I see Blake put that in his articles, he is firing on all cylinders. So Jackson is one of those that can come in and really set the pace. And then on game two, you're probably going to see Charlie Greer, who is actually, he doesn't want me to say this, but he's the first cousin to Chris Stratton. He hates people saying that. But Charlie Greer is going to come in, and it's like you mentioned, they've 15 runs allowed in 5 playoff games and 13 of those in wins.
Yeah, so, yeah, against DeSoto Central. Didn't Jackson Bridges throw a no-hitter in one of those games?
He did. He threw a no-hitter and then batted over 400 for 4 RBIs that game.
Yeah, yeah. So the pitching staff is clicking pretty well. And like you mentioned, they gave up a few runs to DeSoto, but they ended up winning those games, and the offense, Brady, you know, they've had some games where they didn't score much, but they've won a couple of one-run games in the playoffs, and again, when the pitching has given up some runs, they've been there to have an answer for it. So offensively, sure, They're getting done what they need to do.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about on the other side of the ball with just looking at the batting, you have Josh Smith, who's batting 400. He's easily the most consistent. He actually is a two-sport athlete. He's the kicker for the football team, too. He's a lefty. He pitched a phenomenal game three against DeSoto Central Saturday night in the deciding final game of the series. He's batting over 400. He's got 23 RBIs. Behind him, you've got a couple of other really important names. LeBryan Sedell, who bats in the three spot. He's an ICC commit. Mm-hmm. And then Tanner Jaggers, probably one of the more interesting names of the season for Tupelo, the right fielder, batting 344, but he leads the team in slugging percentage of 600.
Wow.
He had a couple of really big hits against DeSoto Central, as well as Warren Central. He leads the team with three home runs, but he has 27 RBIs and responsible for 24 runs. Wow. Oh, and by the way, he bats in the seventh position.
Wow, that's pretty good. And then you got the Eichert kid who came up big the other day. Didn't hear his name a lot during the year.
Absolutely. Steven Matthews, the Jones County junior college commit at shortstop, broke his hand last Thursday night at the plate. He got hit just by an errant pitch.
Yeah.
Didn't hear a whole lot about that until about 24 hours later. And then Jack Eichert, whose brother played catcher, William Eichert, for Tupelo a couple of years back,
yeah,
came in and, he played hero on Saturday with, I think, 4 RBIs, mm-hmm, including a 2 RBI double. So, yeah, he's played well in the field and done well at the plate, too. And that, I think that's very indicative of Justin Reed, the head coach. He just he constantly says he's going to play the players that are in the best positions. And all the kids respond very well to him.
Well, Tupelo and Hernando, again, they kick it off Thursday in Tupelo. It's a 7 p.m. first pitch. Game two will be Friday, game three, and that'll be at Hernando, game three, if they need it back in Tupelo on Saturday. Winner goes to the state finals, and all the series will be Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week. Now, looking at some other series involving area teams, got a lot of really good matchups involving area teams, Braden. In 1A, you got defending champ TCPS taking on Smithville. In 2A, Ingomar and East Union. In 3A, Kossuth, defending state champ, taking on Morville. 4A, Corinth against Ripley. And then you got Oxford there in 5A taking on New Hope. I mean, that's some good baseball going to be played this weekend, Braden.
Yeah, y'all, I hope y'all's inside sports spread has about 3 or 4 extra pages.
Yeah. Because
every one of these teams are clear-cut area teams. I look at TCPS. I don't think they've had a close game in almost a month.
Wow.
In 1A. They've been just blowing by teams like Morville Myrtle. I look at Ingomar and East Union. That's got to be one of the biggest series to watch. I mean, I don't know if you're going to be able to get a parking spot in Pontotoc or Union County to watch those right there.
Yeah.
Kossuth, I see a lot of Kossuth stuff being posted right there. I think they went to game three after having a game three this past weekend. And then, gosh, 4A. 4A has been one of the craziest ones to watch with Corinth and Ripley.
Yeah.
And that's not to mention Oxford, you know, trying to vow for, what, third straight
title? I think that's right. Yeah, I think that's right. They're in 5A. So, yeah, a ton of good baseball on tap for this weekend. And we'll squeeze everything in that we can. And if it doesn't get into the paper, we'll get it online at djournal.com. As I mentioned, there's sports going on besides baseball and softball, postseason stuff happening. Let's talk a little bit of golf. Last week, big week for Tupelo. Braden, the girls won their first golf title. I want to say that was on Tuesday.
Correct.
And then a day or two later, the boys win another one, the 13th for them. That's a good week for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you look at girls golf. We kept up with it after day one. They were playing in Vicksburg, and I think Tupelo was down 7 strokes.
Yeah, that's right.
And we looked at that and said, well, you know, D'Iberville has one of the best, the best girls golfer in the state. So it would really be. Golf is very interesting with girls. They don't take the top 3; they take the top 2, and that means you can have an amazing number one golfer, but your number two needs to be very, very consistent, or at least very close to your first.
Sure.
Or else those numbers are going to really balance out, and you'll get the law of averages right there. And I think that's what happened with Tupelo. Tupelo's number one golfer, Michaela Bryan, who's actually going to sign with Wallace State Community College on Friday. She is one of the most consistent golfers in the state. She's been medaling since she was in 8th grade.
Wow.
And with that, she was partnered with Margaret Hill, who's a junior, and they both had really nice scores. They didn't have the top scores after day one, but they kept the consistent scores in day two, and Tupelo was able to squeak out a one-stroke victory over D'Iberville and Warren Central last Wednesday.
And the boys, it's just business as usual. As I mentioned, that's their 13th title. I mean, Tupelo's there every year in the mix.
Yeah, and you know, Gene made a good point. A month ago, DeSoto Central beat Tupelo in a tournament, and then a year ago, Madison Central beat Tupelo in the state finals by over 20 strokes.
Wow.
So you saw a huge turnaround. Of course, being held at Tupelo Country Club has got to be a gigantic home court advantage.
Oh, yeah.
Mentally. Props to Tupelo. They came out firing on all cylinders on the first day. DeSoto Central had a really good second day, but at that point, I think that they had a lot of ground to take up, and they could not get close to MC. And it got down. Gene covered that, I think, as well as John Pitts. They covered that, and it got down to the last couple of strokes, and Tupelo boys were able to pull that out at the very end.
Yeah, and just to mention as well, this week, on Tuesday, we had some more area teams win golf titles at Nelson's Girls, led by Riley Mayhew. She was the medalist for the third straight year at the state tournament they won. Boonville's Boys won the 3A title, and Oxford's Boys won in 5A. Tennis, real quick, let's hit it up. Oxford won in tennis again, only the 10th straight year, Braden.
Just 10.
And they're going up to 6A next year, probably winning again. TCPS won for the second straight year. And I know Tupelo didn't win a team title, but they had some individuals win on Wednesday, didn't they?
They did. As a matter of fact, Sebastian Rios, who's probably one of the best tennis players that I've seen ever at Tupelo High School, he was able to win the boys singles today over Northwest Rankin in a 6-0 win. You don't see that happen a whole lot in a 6A individual. And then on the other side, we had a three-peat in boys doubles, and that was Hogan Harrington and Eric Huey winning over Ocean Springs 6-3, 6-1.
So congrats to all the state champs, and again, more to come, baseball and softball and such. So, and Tupelo, I mean, Braden, this is shaping up to be a really, really good postseason for Tupelo sports all around, isn't it?
Absolutely. We kind of look and try to calculate everything up just mentally and just things on paper, and it looks good. We've done very well in 18 total sports. We've seen advancements in 11 to 14 of those teams have made it to at least a quarterfinal advancement of playoffs. So this class of 2017 is extremely athletic, and they're able to do some stuff that Tupelo hasn't been able to do collectively in about 4 years.
Wow, some impressive stuff. Let's close out the program with the Athletes of the Week. We do this every week. We honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments. in their particular sport. So we'll start with the female athlete. Going to go with Kate Maddox. Anybody who knows anything about track and field around here the past several years knows that name. Starkville High senior. She capped a tremendous career at the 6A state track meet the other day. She won three golds. She won in the 800, the 1600, and the 3200. Braden, that gives her 19 state titles.
Let me tell you, being from another 6A school, I am very ecstatic for her. She is unbelievable, but it's time for her to go to college and dominate somewhere.
Yeah, she'll try to do.
I believe she has a sister that's coming up.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. She's going to go to Southern Miss and continue her career there. So, congrats to.
She's unbelievable. Yeah. She is absolutely dominant in the field of. Track and cross country.
Yeah, so congrats to Kate Maddox of Starkville and our male athlete of the week, Cameron Clark. He's a golfer for Bruce. Now Baldwin, and I meant to give them props. Baldwin's boys won the 2A golf title, so congrats to the Bearcats. But Cameron Clark was the low shooter. He was the medalist in 2A the other day. He shot, Braden, a 10-under, 134 at the Dogwoods in Grenada. He shot a 64. On the first day, that's a par 72 course. He shot eight under, ended up winning by seven strokes. The second place finisher was Kyle Meeks of Walnut. He was seven strokes behind Cameron Clark, who was a Mississippi State signee. So the Bulldogs obviously getting a good one there, Braden. So congrats to him as well, Cameron Clark of Bruce. And that does it for this episode of Prep Rally. Again, coming to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes and any of your podcast apps, or stream it at preprally.djournal.com. We're on Twitter at djournalpreps. And much thanks once again to special guest co-host T. Braden Bishop of Tupelo High School, sports information director over there, always giving us good info on Twitter and elsewhere. And appreciate your insight today, Braden. That's good stuff, man.
Yeah, man, big fan of y'all. Appreciate what y'all do every week, things online, things on the paper, and just the time that y'all take. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Well, that does it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks again for joining us. We'll be back next week. See you then.